So today we're going to talk about change. Well, making disciples first, but we'll look at a guy who Jesus had mercy on, and it changed his life, just like maybe possibly some of you. Why talk about Mark 5? Joseph Prince, who I used to have on record, I don't listen to him anymore, but I believe I drew a lot of good things from him. One of the things I believe that he had a handle on was the Hebrew language. He said that every letter in the Hebrew alphabet corresponds with a picture. And the picture for the number 5 is grace, or God. So I chose Mark 5. And why Mark? I chose the 5th chapter of Mark. Usually God gives me a message. One time I talked about 1 Samuel 8 with Israel asking for a king. One time I talked about forgiveness, whatever. But usually God gives me a thing. He didn't really give me necessarily a theme, but he gave me this, okay? Why Mark? Mark, I think, gets a little bit overlooked. Matthew starts out with the genealogy of Jesus, good stuff, a lot of history, names, then his birth, all good stuff. Luke starts out. Now, I know I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and it seemed good to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. And I thought, who is this Theophilus guy that he's so important? I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to track him down and see what his deal was, but no, I'm not going to do that. The book of John is excellent. The book of Romans is excellent. You know, the book of Hebrews is excellent. It's all God's word, right? The book of John is excellent, and if I could read only one book of the Bible for the rest of my life, it would be John. But Mark, I think, gets overlooked sometimes, but Mark starts out with his gospel in the first chapter, and he's doing things. He's doing things right now. And so here's a little bit of Greek. I learned this from Prince as well. The Greek word for immediately is euthios, euthios. Mark 1 has the word euthios many times. Verse 12, at once the Spirit sent Jesus into the desert, immediately, euthios. Verse 31, the fever left Simon's mother-in-law, euthios, immediately, and she began to wait on them. There are others, 9, verse 9, verse 12, verse 18, verse 20, 21, 28, 29, 30, 31, 40, and 43 all have euthios, immediately. So Jesus comes out right from the start, just bang, doing action. So I chose Mark 5. So now I want to read one more verse, and later on I want to read the story about the guy with the demon. Becky said I couldn't talk about her, and I said, well, how am I supposed to talk about demons? And no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. She knew what I was going to say as soon as I so that's just a little humor there. But so Mark 5:19, I wanted to add that to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. So Mark 5:19, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Okay, now I need to pray before we really get started. Lord, there's certain things that, first of all, Lord, we thank you for your word. Without it, we would not be encouraged. It is a tremendous encouragement to read about your love for us and how you change lives and how you change this guy's life in Mark 5. We thank you for this story. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, most of all, for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, I got a couple of props here. Okay, so this thing here is one of the best inventions that have ever been made for a painter. Usually, this thing right here, we call it a barrel. It doesn't have this housing here. And there's a flat tip that goes in there. And when you put that on your gun, you have to have a washer. And my dad knows all this. He's getting goosebumps because he loves work. He loved his job painting. So, yeah, but that flat tip, it sprays the paint out in a fan. But sometimes, you know, there's 4,000 pounds per square inch. It's a little tiny hole. It's a little tiny hole that paint comes out, okay? And sometimes that gets plugged up. So you have your safety pin in your pants, and then, you know, sometimes you can get that out with that safety pin, but then the safety pin gets rounded off because you've done it so many times. And when you get plugged up, you might be up on a roof, you might be 35 feet in the air. Now you got to come down to your truck, grab your vice grips, take this barrel off, get the tip out, swish it in water if you're in latex. If you're in oil-based, swish it in gas, get gas all over your hand. Then you take your safety pin, get that unclogged. Then you put it up to your mouth and blow through it to make sure that you've unplugged the thing, and you get gas in your mouth, and then you go to eat a sandwich, and you try to wipe it off on your shirt, but that's some of my problem, is I've eaten a lot, drinking a lot of gas in my life. That explains a lot, right, Tyler? So now this thing comes along. What is this? This is a reverse tip, okay? See, this thing comes out. That's the part that the paint comes out, right? That point, the round end is the big hole. The big hole's in the round end. The small end is the point, okay? So you're spraying along. Oh, you get clogged up, right? Oh, my gosh, you got to come down and go. No, you turn this, all right? Hit the trigger, and the paint goes flying out the big end. You've just unplugged your thing, and now you turn it back, and you're painting again. That is the best invention that's ever made for a painter, because it saves about 5 minutes every time you get plugged up. And you get plugged up about at least, I don't know how many times a job, right? So it's just turn it, hit the trigger, bang. So I'm going to paint this one guy's place, long driveway, really nice place, you know, nice, well-kept, a lot of landscaping. And so we're painting this guy's barn. I'm painting away, and he comes out, he goes, hey, see that thing on the end of your gun? He said, I invented that. I said, what? I said, you invented that? He goes, yeah, you want to come in and see my patents? So I come in there, and you know, sure enough, he's got 3 patents on the thing. And so, you know, that was pretty cool. And that story is a complete lie. So the point that I'm making is you better read your Bible for yourself to make sure that the guy up here is telling the truth, okay? It's very important because you bought into that story, right? Possibly. And you might be buying into what I'm going to sell you in a little bit here, but if I'm not telling the truth, you better be able to explain it to your kids and your grandkids, right? Okay. I like Begg, Alistair Begg. He's a big proponent of that. He says you have to read your Bible so you know that the preacher is telling the truth. Once on a side note, he scolded his congregation because he did not hear enough rustling of the pages when he told them what verse he was turning to. It was John 12, and he didn't hear enough rustling of pages, and he said, this is what he said, either you all know your Bibles too well, which I don't think is the case, or you don't care enough to follow along. Either thing is not particularly encouraging. He takes it very seriously. If you guys don't rustle pages, I'm not going to say a word. Reading is important. A little bit about making disciples. What makes a learner or a disciple is one who wants to learn. John 6 tells us about the Father's will for our lives and God's will be done, right? For my Father's will, John 6:40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life. And why do we look to Jesus to be saved? Check out Numbers 21 for a story from the Old Testament about the one who was lifted up. It's about a bronze snake for the saving of lives. The Israelites couldn't save themselves, and neither could we. So as we read God's word, we find stories in the Old Testament that tells of how, despite God's leading and how beneficial it is to listen to God's word, we like to go our own way. Check out 1 Samuel 8 for an example of that. Israel asked for a king despite God's leading them all the way through the desert, through the plagues, out of slavery. Genesis 12 35 and 36. Scripture also tells us that it can go wrong for us when we have no regard for the Lord. Regard is to consider or think of or pay attention to. First Samuel 2, verse 12. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Wickedness for humans is way easier when you disregard the Lord and his word. If we want to make disciples, we have to understand what Jesus has done for us. What could be a possible problem or hindrance of wanting to make disciples? It's for the person that had no change. It's the person who has followed the law since they were young. See, that's why people who, like my sister Rhonda, who have been just like an angel their whole life, there has to be a change, right, Rhonda? Rhonda's one of those people that I envy because she seems to do right all the time. And I know she doesn't, but. So the rich ruler who followed the law since he was a boy, there was no change in him. I'm not saying if you've tried to follow God's law, and you should, we should, I should. If you followed God's law since you were young, there is hope for you to make disciples. But let's look at a man who Jesus had mercy on, and it changed his life, and he went out right after that. In order to make disciples, you have to want to learn yourself. We aren't born with the want to make disciples. We didn't come out of the chute and say, hey, let's talk about Jesus all day, right? I mean, we got to learn that. When you meet Jesus and notice a change in yourself, you want to have that for others too. You want others to experience the love Jesus has for his people. There was no change in the rich ruler, and he went away sad. Jesus did not send him out to make disciples, but he sent the guy out who had a demon to make disciples. Okay, now we have to go through the story. I'm sorry, but I have to. Actually, I'm not sorry, because the more that I just read the Bible, the better, right? I mean, less of my talk, more of this. Mark 5, 1 through 20. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him night and day. Among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell at his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So we're just going to go through a couple of the verses in that story and see what's in there. Now, That I've read that many times. I've listened to it on my phone many times. You could read that and listen to it many times and get everything I'm going to pull out of here, because I'm going to just go through a few things, but there's many other things that could be pulled out. That's why you read something, read it again. You might get something different, because the Holy Spirit works that way. Because you might need something now, you might need something else later. The Word of God is amazing like that. You think you got it down, read it again. I encourage you to go home tonight, today, and reread this. See what you get. Because I guarantee you, might get something different. But here's just a couple things. I had 4 pages of stuff, but it's basically just observations that you guys are smart, you can think of, and especially you girls. You girls have the wisdom that men don't have, right? Here, all smiling. Wisdom is referred to in the feminine in Proverbs, right, I believe? Verse 12, an evil spirit can consist of one demon or many. In this case, possibly 2,000. Verse 12, the demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs, about 2,000 in number. So it's an evil spirit, but there's many demons. Okay, so a spirit can have many demons, or later on, if you would read in Mark, it's probably in a couple of other ones, one girl, and girls get demons too. One girl has just one demon that Jesus took care of. As I was reading this and listening to it, I wonder what the people did when they saw this guy sitting there crying out, cutting himself with stones. I wonder if anybody went over there and tried to talk with him. I wonder if anyone, they tried to tie him up, you know, a couple times, because nobody could bind him, right? Not even with a chain. So it's like they tried to tie him up with something else. I wonder if anyone really cared about this guy. Because usually, sometimes, depending on the person, if we see a guy crying out and cutting himself with stones, we might just think, oh, this guy's weird. What's wrong with this guy? Well, you know, how come he's not like me? I'm sure glad I'm not like him. We can be kind of judgmental sometimes, but reading stories like this, you know, can help us to not judge so quickly. Because this guy was in trouble. He had many demons. Right? I mean, he was crying out. He goes up to Jesus at the top of his voice. Now, I don't want to scream, but you can picture what the top of your voice is, right? What do you want with me? At the top of his voice. He was in trouble. And I wonder what the people did. Demons have to obey Jesus fully. Okay? He gave them permission, and they came out. Verse 6, demons know exactly who Christ is. The Pharisees did not. The Pharisees, who knew their Bible and could recite it, did not know who Christ was. The demons know exactly who he is, okay? And they have to fall at their feet, on their feet when they're confronted. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran. He didn't just mosey over there. He ran and fell on his knees in front of him, shouted at the top of his lungs, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So demons are way smarter than us. Demons can break chains. Now, verse 4. I got a couple of chains here. Just for reference, this little chain, this little guy, this is what we hold sprayers down to the trucks with. We tie them and we put them on the bar and the sprayers stay in one spot. This guy here is a little bit heavier. This is what we pull trucks with. Randy says, why don't you get a strap? I said, because I'm not that smart and I'm cheap. I got this. So you can imagine. I mean, you can come up here. If you come up here and touch it, you're gonna get rust on your hands. But you can imagine somebody can break this. pretty amazing stuff. Demons are. Okay. We pull boom trucks around with that. Thousands and thousands of pounds. Verse 5. Night and day. Constantly in torment enough to cut himself. No one could help him except Jesus. Nobody could help this guy except Jesus. They tried. They tried to just contain him. Nobody could do the job but Christ. The demon-possessed man is just like us. We're just like that guy. It takes a meeting with Jesus. It takes a meeting to Jesus to want to go out to evangelize. Look at the Apostle Paul. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed, and he was the best evangelist there ever was. Lastly, we want to focus on the mercy, God's mercy. It takes God's mercy to make real change. Because remember in 19, we talked about go out and tell what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. This guy's life was not going well. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and when you met Jesus wherever you were, there was a change. The old man has gone, and the new has come. Understanding what he's done for me, I wish I could be with him right now. But he says, no, go out and tell how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. Without God's mercy, what can we do? Jesus met this guy right where he was, and Jesus met you right where you were and where I was. Romans 5:8 tells us that. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. This guy with the demon ended up to be a great evangelist. He went to the Decapolis. That's 10 cities. How many cities have I been to? Not 10. When thinking about God's mercy, another part in the Bible, Titus 3:4 puts it like this. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Did the man who lived in the tombs have any righteousness of his own? Surely not. Do we have any righteousness on our own without Christ? Surely not enough. But here's the encouragement for us all, and I doubt I'll ever give another message that doesn't include this, so you probably have to just bear with me every time I get up here, because it's Psalms 130, 1 through 4. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. If Jesus would have kept a record of sins, we'd all be in trouble. On the home stretch already, right? I hope I'm not going too fast. I want to try and stay within that time frame. Why would I want to do a youth group? And I feel almost like I should eliminate this, but you know, sometimes when we know each other's stories, it can help. Chris Polash talked about getting to know people's stories. This is mine, a little bit about mine, not the whole thing. First, God showed me through Scripture I was saved by grace, and he came to me when I wasn't even looking for him, Romans 5:8. Second, once I saw the love he had for me, I thought he might have it for others. Third, because of his word, I saw some of my behaviors, some of the bad ones, start to leave, not all of them, and we all fall back. But some of my behaviors, my language changed mostly. That was the biggest change. I used to let it fly. Sorry, Dad and Mom. But it's the truth, and that's the way it was. When you read, and my dad didn't teach me that. My dad taught me better, but I am who I am. As you read James 1:26, it means more after you meet Jesus. James 1:26, the point is, if you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, your religion is worthless. One cannot evangelize or make disciples as well if you say whatever you want. Okay, so if you're out there just saying whatever comes in, making disciples might not work so well. Unless the person understands that, you know, we still have sin in our lives that we have to deal with. There is more, but lastly, after the realization that God loved me and others that much to save me and others, I was willing to spread that message. I thought, if he gave his life for me, And if he gave his life for some of my friends, the least I could do is give up a couple Wednesday nights a year and maybe some dollars that he enabled me to have in the first place to tell the kids about Jesus. We don't tell them about rules. The rule following will hopefully come once you've been changed. And following rules for a different reason. We talk about we want to follow God's law, but we want to do it because of what he's done for us, not because we're afraid of punishment or we want to look good to anybody else. You know, those are the messages that we give to kids. We want them to follow the law because of what Christ has done, and hopefully, you know, Landon comes all the time to a youth group, and so does Lindsay, and Leah did too, and Logan when he was in high school. They're very well attenders. And hopefully they've heard the reasons why that we should try to do right. A word or two on making disciples in general. You might be doing a better job than you think. Do we all have to get up here and give a sermon? That's not what God wants. Do we all have to go to Africa and be a missionary to make disciples? No. If that was the case, I would have no hope, because I don't really like to travel, and I'm just as soon stay here and talk to the Randolph kids. I believe that's what I'm supposed to do, and I got no want to go to Africa. I'm just saying it. You might be doing a better job than you think. When I look at my dad and how he treated my mom, he made disciples right there, just by the way he treated her. You as well. What you do, what you say matters, depending on who's around. Dad, you did a good job. Mom, you did a good job too. I got through that one. This goes without saying, but some people don't want to hear. Some people have no want. They're too busy. Satan blinded them. There's a parable in Luke 14, 25 through 23. Now, we're not going to read that, obviously, for time, but people give all kinds of reasons for not believing, okay? And you can't make disciples if you don't believe yourself, right? If you're convinced in something, you'll want to share that. When you tell others about Jesus, Acts 13, you need to have Acts 13 on your mind. If you're telling them something about Christ and they don't believe, all you have to do is shake the dust off your feet and go tell somebody else. You don't need to get mad. Acts 13:51 says that. There's lots of kids, different kids that come into our youth group. Thankfully, we don't just have kids that come here. We have kids that don't go to church. We have kids that have never heard the gospel. We have kids that go to other churches. I don't know what they're getting there, but I know what they're getting here. They're getting the gospel all day long, and that changes lives. And if they come in and they say, I'm coming here because my girlfriend is here, whatever, you know. I'll just come here as long as she's coming here. That's usually how it happens anyway. If they don't believe in what I'm saying, I just say, well, maybe not right now. Maybe later. Okay? You never judge somebody if you tell them and they say, well, you're just an idiot. I don't believe in what you're saying. That's fine. Shake the dust off your feet and go tell somebody else. You don't have to get mad. The thief on the cross, his life was changed while he was on his deathbed, right? The thief on the cross during the crucifixion, he was changed right up on there. He was just about to die. Okay? So you think somebody has no hope? They're not dead yet. Now the real home stretch. Look, last page. What? Yep, sure enough. It's a good thing. What can I do tomorrow? Paul, I want something to do. Step one, well, we'll get to tomorrow in a little bit. Step one to make disciples is be willing to be taught. Tyler, when we're coaching basketball, Josh, we're coaching basketball, if they don't want to buy into the defense, if they don't want to be taught our way, is that defense going to work? No. If you don't want to be taught, it's not going to work. You have to be willing to be taught. You have to be willing to say, Jesus is the one in charge, and I'm going to try to do what he says. Okay? And usually when you do what he says, that's the Spirit leading you. Usually when you do not do what he says, that's you leading yourself. And I can do a better job at that. Read the Bible and believe. I wanted to be able to tell Jake and Greg about the Bible. They saw me reading it. They saw some good things. Okay, some of the things that they didn't see weren't good. But read the Bible and believe so you can teach your kids and your grandkids. And if you don't read, my dad made disciples and my mom made disciples by their actions. And I know that. Carry out the word as best that you can. Anger comes in. Selfishness comes in. But carry it out the best you can. What to do tomorrow? And this is the last. Read Acts 13. Read John 6:44 and John 6:65. When you better understand these verses, you will better understand Acts 13:51. And I'm not going to explain that part. A little bit. Those two verses talk about God enabling people to come. Okay? And Acts 13:51 says that you shake the dust off your feet. If somebody doesn't listen and doesn't want to listen, maybe God has not touched them yet. Maybe God has not enabled them, like John 6:44 and John 6:65 says. Another thing that you could do is read Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the word about Christ. Talk about Jesus and what he has done for you and the mercy he has had on you. Romans 15:1, and I will read that because there are going to be some people that don't quite get it. Romans 15:1-7. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his own good. To build him up, we're trying to build people up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. If they don't believe, you can still accept them, because they might believe later on after God has enabled them. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. It'll all bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ, on behalf of God's truth, that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. We glorify God because he's had mercy on us. And then search the scriptures for yourself, and you know, God might show you a thing or two about how to do it. The thing is, guys, is you might be doing a better job than what you think. Finally, pray and ask for his help. If you want to learn, I think God will teach you. Let's pray. Jesus, you've asked us to go and make disciples. I'm sorry when I didn't do a great job at that. Because, Lord, as I know what you've done for me and accomplished for me on the cross, I want that for other people. And I want that for anyone here who's not there. And if they are there, Lord, I pray that they would go make disciples. Lord, show us the way. We do it because of what you've done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.